and welcome back to another amazing episode of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON State Section Director in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And today I'm excited to announce we are starting our yearly series, Women in the Field, where we're having special guests that are women in the field of ufology all month long to come and share their experiences, their story, their work, and everything they're doing today. So to kick that off, we are having today special guest Dr. Lisa Thompson, who is a best-selling author, galactic ambassador, channeler, and lifelong experiencer. We're going to talk about some of her experiences she's had throughout her life, including some on spacecraft. We're going to talk about how she's learned to cope with this over the years, and how she's actually giving back and helping other people having contact experiences, helping them cope with theirs as well. So we have a lot of information to go over today. I think you guys are really going to enjoy this episode. So as we always like to say, strap on them seatbelts, we're going for a ride. Hello, everybody, and welcome to UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON State Section Director in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And to kick off our yearly series, Women in the Field, we are welcoming special guest today, Dr. Lisa Thompson. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me on.
Absolutely. I read your bio, and you're doing some amazing things in the field. Definitely worth highlighting, and I think listeners will be definitely interested in what you've experienced yourself and what you're doing. So I appreciate you coming on today for the first time and kicking off the month of our women's celebration.
Well, again, very happy to be here and to share all of my experiences and stories.
Awesome. Awesome. So I guess let's just jump right in. How did you get your start? I know you're a lifelong experiencer. Was it an experience or was it an interest?
Well, so I grew up in a metaphysical, esoteric, spiritual household where things of this nature were just normal. When I was growing up, my mom was an astrologer, but then when I was 13, we moved from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma to Washington State to attend a spiritual school of enlightenment, where we were learning about higher dimensional reality, creating your reality, extraterrestrial life, and other things of that nature. So it was just always a natural part of my life. And my first conscious memory of actually being taken onto a spacecraft was when I was 15.
Oh, okay.
And so that was quite an experience, of course, memorable, and it planted the seed for the work that I do now as a galactic ambassador and channeler.
Okay, okay. Could you kind of tell us a little bit about the experience, if you don't mind sharing?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. So it was, I was 15, and we were living on 20 acres outside of Olympia, Washington. It was a nighttime experience, so I was asleep. I don't remember how I got into the craft, but all of a sudden I'm inside of the spacecraft, and it was a smaller shuttlecraft. It was just me and my ET guide. Now, when he picked me up, I didn't have any fear about it because, number one, he looked very human, and then he also felt very familiar, like I knew him, like I had met him before, and it turns out that I had. And so we're flying through space, and at least from being inside of the craft, what it looked like were the walls were completely transparent, where you could just fully see out into space. You could see the darkness, the pinpoints of the starlight, the different gas layers, and the beautiful colors of those as we're passing through. And we finally land where we were going. When we got there, I asked him where we were. He said that we were inside of Io, one of Jupiter's moons. And then he started touring me around what looked like a hospital facility. So I could see into these different rooms, and everyone looked very human. So my next question to him was, you know, are you human? Is everyone here human? And he said that, no, those of you that we brought here are human. We are not. We are humanoid, but we disguise ourselves because our form tends to scare you. So then my next question to him was, well, why are we here? Why am I here? And he said that those of us that had been chosen to be brought there were being tested to see if something happened to the Earth, if we could live in an environment like that or something similar. Now, this was back in 1988. We were still in the Cold War, on the verge of World War III. So there really was a timeline potential where something bad could have happened.
Okay.
Yeah. So then at the end of the tour, I asked him if I could see what he really looked like, because as a kid, I was obsessed with animals, and the weirder, the better. And that's actually why I ended up getting my degree in my PhD in zoology and marine biology, because I just was obsessed with animals.
Very interesting. That's cool.
And so, yeah, so he showed me, you know, what he really looks like. And he was about 7 feet tall. He had pure white skin, big dark eyes, and long red hair. And then he had what looked like triangles or triads tattooed on his cheeks. So very extreme in his size and coloration. So I could see how people might be afraid of that, but completely benevolent. So then I get returned back home, and I remember just lying in my bed, thinking, you know, feeling the energy of the craft outside leaving. But I'm lying in my bed thinking, okay, that is the weirdest dream I've ever had.
Right.
And so actually for a few months, I just thought it was a dream. But now I know, you know, with dreams, within 10 minutes, we forget details. And I never forgot the details. And so fast forward a few months later, I was reading Whitley Strieber's book, Communion, which, you know, your audience may be familiar with that, but it's his book about his experiences of being taken by some gray ETs. And then at the end of the book, he's interviewing different people that had been taken, and they all have the same kind of gray experience, except for one guy had a completely different story, where he was telling Whitley he had been taken to a moon of Jupiter and told he was one of the chosen ones. And Whitley made a little side comment sarcastically, "I hope it isn't Io." And when I read that part, I had head to toe chills, tears started coming down my face. And so that was my body's way of telling me that was a real experience, not just a dream. And at the time, again, we're in the spiritual school. So I knew if I told my mom, she would believe me. So I did, I went and told her. Now our school, it was of interest to the CIA and the government in the 80s when we were there. And we had CIA and government officials infiltrate the school to spy on what we were learning. And some of those people became real students of the school. And so my mother knew one of these students who had been formerly very high in the government or military. And she introduced me to him. I shared my story with him. And when I got to the part of describing him, he was like, "You know, I don't know that race," he said, "but we don't know all of them. There are so many out there." But he said, "You had a real experience." And so not only did I have it validated by my own knowingness, but also by someone who knew about, you know, these ET races that the government works with and knows about. And so that was huge to have that validated pretty quickly. And as a teenager, not to go through my life thinking I'm crazy.
Right. Absolutely. And I think most people do, because they really don't have that connection that you had, that you had when you were young. You actually started young, and you had your mom with you doing this stuff. So it was actually really cool. And I was going to ask you, how did you comprehend that with being in school and other kids and having these experiences at the age of 15? Did you talk about this with your friends at school or family members other than your mother?
I did share it with my father, who he lived in Nebraska and, you know, was very different in terms of his belief system, very Christian. And when I told him about the experience, he was just like, "Yeah, you're crazy. That was a dream. That was not real." And so, you know, he might believe me now because of all the work that I do, but he definitely did not believe me as a teenager. And what was interesting was I didn't really share it with my high school friends. But then when I was in graduate school, there were a couple friends that I trusted that I shared. And they again, being mainstream academia, we're all evolutionary biologists at University of Chicago and the Field Museum, like very, very conservative mainstream academia. They all thought I was crazy. They're like, because I believe in Squatch and mermaids and all of that too. And they were just like, "We don't have any proof of any of that." And I'm like, "That's why we're scientists. We're supposed to be open-minded.
Absolutely.
We don't have all of the tools."
That's right. That's exactly why. Oh, that's great. So what did your dad think of you and your mom going to these meetings like that, if he was, you know, with him being with his religion?
Well, I mean, my parents divorced when I was two, and my mother had primary custody, so he didn't really have a say. I know he didn't approve or like it. And, you know, the family thought we were in a cult, and, you know, it is kind of a cult, actually. I don't know if you've ever heard of the RAMP, the School of Enlightenment, but it's a, you know, it's a school that is channeled through J.Z. Knight and Ascended Master Rampa, channels the information from higher dimensional realities. And so, you know, it's definitely not everyone's cup of tea.
So could you kind of tell us a little bit about that? That's the first time I've ever heard of it. So I'm interested to hear more about it.
Okay, yeah. So J.Z. Knight channels Rampa. She started that in the late 70s. And so Rampa, basically, the information that was coming through was about before law of attraction and manifesting became like popular in our mainstream culture. We were learning about that, how to create your reality. Consciousness and energy creates the nature of reality. We were learning that really the power, the, you know, the God is inside of us. It is not an external God, that we are all connected. We are all one. And so we were also learning quantum mechanics and brain physiology and other ways to operate. We were doing a lot of practices like telepathy and remote viewing, a lot of really trying to enhance our third eye so that we would be able to access information at a very different level.
Wow, that's really interesting. Is it, can you still do this today?
I don't know. I haven't been in the school for 17 years. As far as I know, there are teachings that are still going on. But I left the school when I was pregnant with my daughter.
Okay. I know obviously you've had more experiences from that first experience at the age of 15. Yes. Have you had any, what was the most recent? Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, so one of the things that I do here in Hawaii, so I moved to Hawaii just over 3 years ago. And when I got here, I realized, wow, there is so much UFO activity here on the island, throughout all the islands, but the big island where I live, the activity is off the charts. And I had done a UFO tour in Sedona like 5-6 years ago. And so I decided, I already had my spiritual business that I had moved here to Hawaii. And so I decided to start a UFO tour business under my spiritual business.
Awesome.
So for the past almost 3 years, I've been taking people out to see these craft, and we're using the Generation 3 military night vision goggles.
Okay.
And so we see them with our eyes, but then we see them through the goggles as well. And so nightly, there is activity here. Now, one thing that's interesting about this location compared to maybe other places around the world is that it's said that the veil between dimensions is thinner here. And so we can see some of these craft that you might not be able to see in other places where it's just a thicker kind of veil.
Okay.
Sedona, the veil's thinner there too. There's a lot of vortex portal energy. Same here on the Big Island. And so I've taken my goggles other places within the country and around the world, and I haven't seen the same kind of activity that we see in some of these other areas.
That's really interesting. I've heard from actually elders from Hawaii talk about this before. But could you give us an example of what some of the things that you're seeing? Is it just craft that you see flying in the sky? Could you describe it a little bit for us?
Yeah, I would be happy to. We have all different kinds. The one that was most profound for me, it was not a night where I was doing a tour. I'd been speaking about my book, Connection to the Cosmos, down at our local bookstore about an hour away. Driving home, so one of the things that I do, I'm always looking in the sky, day and night, I'm always looking and asking them to show themselves because I know that they're there. And so I'm driving home and I'm asking the whole way, I really want to see you guys, please show me that you're there for me. And I get about a block away from my house and all of a sudden I see this very bright light above the tree line. It looks like a very bright star. And so I acknowledge it and I say, I see you, stay there. I'm going to go park my car at my house and come and interact. And so I park my car, walk to the end of the driveway, and I look to where it should still be, and it was there. So it was right above the tree line above my neighbor's house. And it looked like a very, very bright star. Now I am a scientist. I have constellation and satellite apps. So first thing I did was I had to verify it is not a star, not a planet.
Right.
Because sometimes Jupiter and Venus and Sirius are very bright here, okay, where we sit on the island. And so there was nothing that was supposed to be there. So then I'm like, okay, I know you're a craft. Please. So it just looked kind of pulsing. So I said, please do something that a spacecraft can do that a star can't do. And what it did was it completely dimmed out where I couldn't see it. And a few seconds later, it came back on full brightness. And I got really excited. I was like, do it again, do it again. And it did it again. It dimmed out. And then it came back on full brightness. And it was like, do it again. And it did it 5 times for me because I kept asking for that validation. Wow. I really wanted to like prove to myself, okay, it is actually interacting with me and doing what I'm asking. So when I stopped asking, it just stayed on and it was just pulsing. And so I realized, oh my gosh, I have my phone. Let me take some pictures. Let me try to get some video. Now, what my eyes were seeing was very different than what my phone was picking up, which is pretty common.
Interesting.
But I'm just taking some pictures and video and talking to it, thanking it for being there. And so then at some point I had to go in the house. I hadn't even been in, and I had been out interacting with it for maybe 20, 30 minutes. And so I go in the house. Well, first of all, I always thank them for showing up. I always give gratitude. And so I'm like, thank you. I really appreciate you doing this. And so I go in the house and I'm looking through my photos and my videos. And when I zoomed in, I saw, okay, no, there, you know, there was real structure to it. The photo, what it looked like was kind of a double donut where there was a hole in the middle, kind of like a bullseye target kind of look. And then when I was playing the video, what it looked like, it was pulsing, but there was also spinning action. And so my idea, my theory is that it actually is a Merkaba craft where it's counterclockwise spinning, rotating, and creating that spherical look.
Okay.
So, and I have, there are other people on island who have gotten the exact same kind of craft on their phones as well. And we think that these are Pleiadian craft, and the Pleiadians have a very, very strong connection to the Polynesian people and the Hawaiian islands. So.
Okay. Yeah. Cause that was going to be my next question. Do you think it's.
Okay. Can I just say, the very next day, what was very interesting too, is that starting at 5:30 in the morning, these lenticular clouds, the spaceship clouds, they started showing up all over the island. Hmm. We don't have the conditions for that to happen. They stayed in place from 5:30 a.m. until 10:30 p.m. that whole next day, with other clouds blowing by. But these guys were in place, and people were going nuts. It was all over social media on our island, because again, this does not happen. And everyone's like, do you see these clouds? And some of my friends are like, do you see the Pleiadian craft?
Wow, that's so incredible.
Anyway, it was just the timing was very interesting.
When exactly did this happen?
So my experience was March 7th last year at around 8 p.m. And then the clouds were March 8th all day long.
I'll have to look that up and see that. That's pretty cool. That's different. I haven't heard that one yet. Really cool stuff. Did you guys all take pictures? I'm guessing you guys did, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes. There were pictures, again, all over social media, because people were like, what is going on here with these clouds?
That's really cool.
And so, you know, I know that one of the things, you know, spaceships like hiding in clouds because it's really good camouflage.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yep. Absolutely. So I know you said that these were the Pleiadians, but do you think that some of these craft that you see are from the same ones from your childhood that visited you from the very beginning?
So actually, I don't. I think the ones that we are seeing are part of the different galactic federations out there that are kind of patrolling Earth and just making sure that we're doing okay. There are so many out there. Like when within a maybe an hour scope of us looking through the goggles, you know, we might see 50 to 100 just, and they're all like passing by even within a frame, 4 or 5 at the same time, you know, flying by. And again, we have satellite trackers. I know the behavior of satellites. And so these things are doing things that satellites cannot do. And some of them are much closer to us. So even just a couple nights ago, we had one that So where we sit on the island, our airplane activity is very specific. We have airplanes flying in and out of Kona Airport over the ocean. And then where I live in Waikoloa Village and do the tours, we have occasionally medic airplanes flying right over the village going to Waimea Airport and then right back over the village. So the other night we had an airplane, very low flying, you know, lights were really big, airplane flying. And then all of a sudden, this very bright spacecraft shows up right behind the airplane and is kind of following it. And the lights of the craft were so much brighter than the airplane. And so then I have my laser pointer because I like pointing things out for tour guests. And so I laser the spacecraft and it completely dimmed out, but then it came back on and then it kept going. And then a few seconds later, it just completely disappeared.
Wow.
And so that was a really cool experience. We had not seen that.
Yeah, that's incredible.
Kind of close before on tour.
That's like communication. I love it.
You yes. know
what I mean, that whole thing. Do you guys have like a group where you post pictures from doing your sky watches and things like that?
I have a Facebook business page, Big Island UFO Tours. And then I do have a private Facebook group, Connection to the Cosmos.
Okay.
Cool. Where I post different things as well. Yeah.
All right, cool. Yeah, I'll make sure I put that in the description of the episode so everybody listening can go check that out. That's really cool stuff, though, to have that experience where you're communicating, the lights flashing back and forth, just to even see the craft in general. I mean, the feeling that you feel inside, there's nothing like it else in the world. And to have that is just great because not everybody always gets to see everything. So, you know, myself, I feel like I'm very lucky to have seen it. You know what I mean? And you guys doing it down there, it's great. Absolutely cool stuff. But I want to go ahead and take our quick break. When we get back, we can get into you're a best-selling author as well. Some really cool titles, which I think will be great to dive into. So let's go ahead and take our break, and we'll be back right after these commercial messages. Hello, everybody. This is your host, Jesse P. I'm happy to announce coming up this year in 2024 on May 4th, is the Curiosities Festival, which will include speakers in the field of ufology, the paranormal, and Bigfoot. We'll also be having live performances throughout the day, live bands, food, activities, and more. Tickets will only be $5 a person, and it'll be from 12 p.m. to 7 p.m. at night. Again, this is for the 2024 Curiosities Festival. You can get this information over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. We look forward to seeing you there. UFO Encounters Worldwide would like to announce our brand new home at the UNX Network. Listen to us every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear UFO Encounters Worldwide podcast. That's on the UNX Network.
UFO Encounters Worldwide wants to hear from you. Have an experience or a sighting you want to share? Contact your host, Jesse Peake, at ufoencountersworldwide@gmail.com today.
Have you always been curious about the unknown, the unexplainable? Do you find yourself intrigued by the mysterious and paranormal side of our world? Then Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is the podcast for you. Join in on an adventure into the world of the inexplicable and get insights from experienced researchers, investigators, and experts. Listen to mind-bending discussions and fascinating stories as Let's Find Out explores the strange, mysterious, and paranormal. Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is a unique and engaging podcast that uncovers the mysteries of the cryptic and unknown. With insightful interviews and discussions, they discover the very latest theories, discoveries, and investigations that may someday give us the final answer as to what may be behind the veil of reality. Available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, TuneIn, and Rumble.
This is your host, Jesse Peek. Check out our official website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Read up on UFO articles, including abductions, close encounters, sighting cases, megalithic structures, and more. Also, check out our new Facebook group. You'll get updates on guests every week, new events coming up, and our schedule of who we're going to have on in the future. Again, that's UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group and our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the second half of UFO Encounters Worldwide, episode 121. Where we're having our series of women in the field, and we're sitting down today with Dr. Lisa Thompson. So, Lisa, you were telling me about a recent experience that you had with over 40 craft that you've seen in the sky. Could you elaborate and tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I would love to, because I had never seen anything like this. So it was just a couple weeks ago, and we had put the goggles away. I was still educating my people about some of the different galactic races out there. And all of a sudden, my assistant, she's like, Lisa, look at this. And she had been watching. There had already been 20 craft. And one of our other guests had been watching, too. But I'm just talking away, like with my back away from the activity that was happening. She's like, no, seriously, stop, watch. And she's like, I've already seen 20 plus craft moving in the exact same direction towards Jupiter and disappearing, like right outside of Jupiter. And so we all were watching, and at least 20 more craft. We got it on video to see how many, and we were counting, how many of these craft were doing this. And so at least 40 craft within maybe a 15-minute period were moving in a very interesting way, like not straight trajectory, but they were like kind of swooping and coming into a very specific spot in the sky. And Jupiter at this point in the sky was over the ocean. So, and not too low where the airplane activity is. But anyway, so these 40 craft plus, and one of my guests, he took some pictures, and when the picture was blown up, it was kind of a greenish, interesting shape, energy craft. And I showed my friend James Gilliland, who owns East City Ranch, and he's familiar with a lot of the craft. And I asked him a couple days later, I'm like, do you know anything going on around Jupiter? Because this is what just happened. And he's like, yeah, there are actually meetings. There's a station right outside of the Jupiter area where there are meetings going on. And so we got to witness these craft arriving for that meeting. Now, the interesting thing, too, is I sent him that photo of what the craft looked like, one of them anyway, and he said that looks like an Orion Light Council craft, and that's one of the groups that he works with. So, wow. Very interesting.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, were all the craft the same color?
Well, from our visual perspective, because it was so far away, and we didn't have the goggles on, and the goggles don't show color. They're basically green and white, but we didn't zoom, like we didn't get photos of every single craft and zoom in. So I don't know, but I think they were probably different type of craft.
Okay. Now visually with your eyes, could you tell different colors, or was it when you seen the photo that you actually were able to see the color?
You could see a little color, and they did look kind of greenish white. But again, I didn't see all 40 of them like my assistant Michelle had and our other guest. And so again, they were kind of far. They were very far away, and I have really bad distance vision myself. And so when I'm doing the tours, I don't wear my driving glasses because we're using the goggles, which really I can get it crisp and sharp. And so for me visually, I couldn't see. I could see, the object moving, but I couldn't see the specific color.
Okay.
Now, what's interesting, though, the craft the other night that we got, when we got the video, and when you slow down the video frame to frame, the craft is actually changing color as it's moving along. So it's going from like purple and red and green and white, and it's changing shape as well.
Wow, so that's got to be incredible to see that. Absolutely. Now, with all this activity going on in your area, And besides the elders, do you see that there is an interest of more people being interested in this subject now, going out and doing these tours?
Definitely, especially after last year's congressional hearings, where, you know, we have the whistleblowers coming out, because right. a lot of skeptical people, you know, before that, those hearings happened, I'd get a few skeptical people on the tour that were spouses of the people that were super excited about the topic. And they'd be like, yeah, there's no way. And I'm like, and now when the skeptics come on tour and I'm like, our government is fully admitting it, right?
Right.
Even though they're trying to spin it as fear-based, but they're fully admitting it, and other governments around the world. And so it's like, yes, this is real. And so some of the people are still like, nope, even though they're telling us this, I don't believe it. Even though they're seeing the activity, they're like, nope, I still don't believe it. So there are always going to be those people,
yes, there will
where,
be.
You know, a craft has to land right in front of them specifically
yep.
for them to believe.
Yep, absolutely. So you've also taken this information, and you're a best-selling author as well. You've written two books. Could you tell us about the first one? It was Wisdom of the Galactics, Channeled Messages to Elevate Your Life.
So actually, my first one was Connection to the Cosmos.
Okay.
Yeah. And why it's important for that one to, for me to talk about that one first is because, so I was sharing all this information on the tours about my experiences, about, you know, what this activity is, who some of the different ET races are. And I've written other books in the spiritual realm, but I was like, you know, because I'm verbally sharing this information, I should write it down. And so I started writing it in blog form, and some of my friends were like, I feel a new book coming on. And so I turned it into a book. And when I was writing Connection to the Cosmos, one of the groups that, so in 2018, I met my Arcturian family. So beings from the Arcturus star system.
Okay.
And over the last several years, I've developed that connection with them, and they really wanted to channel through me. And so I was hesitant because I grew up in this school that was channeled, and there was such stigma around it that I thought, you know, how can I be a channeler? I don't want people to think I'm weird, but I had to get over myself of like, okay, if they want to share this beautiful information, then I will be a vessel for that.
Absolutely.
So when I was writing the book, they started channeling first through writing. I just basically through automatic writing, I was just letting it flow. And then I relaxed into opening up my vocal channel. So then they started vocal channeling through me. And so that really broke open the door for beginning of 2023, then the Arcturians were like, okay, now it's time for you to bring in your other groups. And this year, other groups want to speak their messages through you, and you have the ability to do this. And so I just trusted the process. And so over the course of several months, I channeled 13 different races with their messages.
Wow.
And that turned into Wisdom of the Galactics, channeled messages to elevate your life.
Okay.
And so really, even though the Arcturians are one of my primary groups, I am really here to be a spokesperson and ambassador for all of the ET races. It's way bigger than just the one.
Right.
And I'm really stepping into that role more and more. And it's just going to keep expanding.
That's amazing. And could you explain, like, when you say they vocalize through you, like, how does it work? How does the whole channeling work? Can you go through that a little bit for us?
Sure. So different channels do it a little bit differently. So some people go into like a full sleep trance state. That is not what I do. I want to be in control of my body, just, you know, for needs of biology. So the way that I learned to do it was I am able to step my ego to the side or the back, where I'm still there, but I'm not in control. And what I do is I'm able to bring in the energy of these. First, I have to get my state in a vibration, a higher vibrational state to really, I only allow anything fifth dimensional and higher to come through, nothing lower than that, because I am not about any of the polarization or fear. I don't want any of that information coming through my mouth. I'm really here for unity and love. And so when I raise the vibration and I connect with whichever group it is, then there's this energy that comes through basically the back of my neck, comes down into my heart, and then out through my mouth. And so they are using the words in my brain, are using my vocal cords to speak their messages. Some of them, when they came through, they did sound a little bit different in terms of the way that my words would come out and the tone of my voice. Others, you know, it sounds very similar, but the messages that they're sharing are their own specific wisdom that they wanted to get out there.
So how are you recording this when you're doing this, or do you have other people with you? Is it to, basically take notes or record it?
Well, when I was doing those sessions with the 13 groups, I was doing it as kind of a class where I had people on. So I had, you know, my different students on Zoom, and it was recorded. And so basically I was sharing who the group was that was going to come through that day. And then I led them through their own journey to meet their own guide of that particular race. And then as we were in that journey, then the specific messages and the way that that group wanted to lead the journey of the experience to really have them get the information from a personal level would come through. And so there were messages specifically for humanity, but it was also more of they're guiding people through their own personal experience to understand it experientially from their point of view so that they can integrate it into their lives better.
Okay.
And so it was a really interesting experience and of trust for me, because I had no idea where we were going to go in these sessions.
Right.
But they were recorded. And so those are offered on my website, all of those video sessions, as well as I've been broken it down into just the meditation piece, where I've got a meditation bundle where you can experience each of the 13 different races. And then the written messages are in the book, Wisdom of the Galactics.
Awesome. I'll make sure I have the link in the description of the episode, so everybody that's listening, you can go and get the website. Now, when you started off, you said, you know, you don't, nothing negative. You want to keep peaceful, positive. Now, have you had anything that was negative try to come through before?
There was one night where I had been drinking some wine with my family, and all of a sudden I felt this energy come in. My veils were down, and so this energy came through and was speaking to me, and was speaking actually to my daughter and my husband at the time. And my daughter was like, no. Wow. And so she was like, Mom, stop. And so I quickly shut that off and realized, okay, no, if I'm going to channel, I cannot be in that kind of state. I need to be clear, you know, of any kind of drugs or alcohol. I need to actually be very much conscious of having that higher vibration, because there are channelers out there who will bring in those lower energies, and they are spreading the fear. They are really keeping that polarized messaging going, where people are still focusing on, you know, us versus them kind of mentality. And that is really what I'm all about, is helping this ascension process, so that we are all shifting to that fifth dimensional reality where there's no more judgment, no more polarization. We accept everyone for who and what they are. We understand that love really is the principle. That's the universal law.
Absolutely. I think, you know, when people experience this, they get frightened, some people. And it's good that you're doing this, because it's showing people that there is a positive side to this, and you can overcome that fear and actually use it to your benefit and become a more positive person and work with these beings that want to connect with you.
They do.
Absolutely, yeah. Amazing stuff. Now you touched on that you're doing these classes. What could you explain the classes, how people could sign up, what they can expect in the classes, what you guys are doing?
Well, the classes I'm not doing at the moment. What I'm focusing on this year is I'm having a galactic retreat here in Hawaii in October.
Okay.
Where it's a 5-day deep dive into experiencing these different ET groups for themselves. Basically, we're working on enhancing the clairabilities, remote viewing, telepathy, things like I learned at the Rampa School, actually, because when you start opening yourself up to that, then you can actually have your own personal experiences with these higher dimensional ET groups. You can actually go inward, meditate, raise that vibration, and communicate with them. And so I'm really helping people connect to their own galactic guides and family rather than just, you know, I am going to be doing a lot more channeling this year and sharing that information, likely as a membership community. But what I'm all about, people having their own inner knowingness, their own inner truth, their own wisdom, because that is how people integrate it for themselves. If I'm just a talking head, just telling people the information, then they might hear it, but it doesn't mean that it becomes real in their life. And so I'm all about really helping people to fully experience it for themselves.
Yeah, that's great, because it can be hard to take that next step and actually do the physical stuff. You know, people go to conferences all the time and then hear about it. And, you know, they take notes, but how many really go home and actually take that step? You know, so it's great that that's what you're going to be doing. I think that's amazing to have a retreat, especially. Cool stuff. Now, you talk about this stuff a lot too, because you are in the field and you're also a podcaster, like what we're doing here. Yes. Your podcast is called Connection to the Cosmos with Dr. Lisa Thompson. Could you tell us a little bit about that? What you guys talk about, the guests that you have on, and where we can find that at?
Yeah. So I've been doing that podcast for just over 2 years now. And I started it because I wanted to have really deep spiritual conversations with my guests about, you know, whether it's ETs or angels or fairies or just spiritual healing modalities that are outside of mainstream, you know, Western medicine. And so each week I have a different guest on, and some of them are experiencers, some of them are channelers, some of them have different healing modalities that they're sharing. But the conversations are always just really deep and educational. And really, I'm there to provide my audience different types of people, different ways of thinking about things that they might not have ever been exposed to.
That's absolutely great. What time does it come on? And what days?
So I have a YouTube channel where new episodes come out every Tuesday. And then I'm on all the podcast outlets as well. And so they're released every Tuesday.
Awesome. Awesome. Could you tell us about some of the guests that you've had on?
Well, let's see. So recently, one that was very popular is my friend Tony Gazzi. And he is a channeler who channels the Praying Mantis Collective. Okay. And which is so interesting, because mantis are one of my groups that I love working with. I do my own healing modality as well. And so I bring forth these ET energies for that healing modality. And so the mantis, they're master healers. So they're one of the groups I bring through. So Tony actually, you know, he shares his story about being a real estate agent. You know, he's got a mainstream job, but now he's channeling these praying mantis, which have such beautiful messages. And so he actually channels, you know, on that episode. Another recent guest is James Gilliland, owner of Esetti Ranch, where he does, in the summertime, he does night sky watch tours. He's at the base of Mount Adams in Washington State. And so, you know, he has different experiences where people can go to his ranch. And so we're talking about, you know, some of the different craft and the beans and squash.
Excellent.
And then I have people who have, you know, met their hybrid children. Okay. Rafael Lugo was on not too long ago, and he just had a documentary come out on Amazon Prime called Calling All Hybrids, where he has full memory of being taken onto a craft and holding one of his hybrid babies, like nurturing it and seeing the Zetas, the hybrid children, the mantis, And his wife and son are part of that program as well. That's wow. one of the programs I'm part of. I am definitely part of the hybrid program. I have 12 hybrid children myself.
Okay, that's interesting. Yeah, we did. We did have one guest on here as well. Had the same thing happen. It's very interesting for sure. Do you want to tell? I mean, do you want to elaborate a little bit on that? Or
well, so you know, we are all multidimensional. We are not just this one Earth human life, and so. These different ET groups that I brought through, what I realized very quickly is these are simply other expressions of myself, of my soul. And so they're not separate from me. And so I've learned how then, kind of like a radio frequency, learned how to tune in to these specific energies of who I am in these other realms. And so one, you know, one of the groups that came through were the Zetas, and a lot of people have fear around the Zetas because they feel like they're being taken against their will and part of this hybrid program, their sperm and eggs are being taken, but we all sign up for everything in a soul level contract from my understanding. And so I know fully as a Zeta, I would have been like, yes, sign me up. I'll go to Earth. I'll be human. I'll be part of this program to create these spiritually advanced hybrid children that then become a vehicle for us to reincarnate into, to incorporate, to make Earth a better place. And so, you know, I have the Zeta life. I've got this Earth Lisa life. I'm sure I'm one of my own hybrid children. I'm a Mantis. I'm Sirian. I'm an Andromedan, Arcturian, all the things. And so when we start to realize how much more we are than just this human life, then all things become possible. And we understand that then we can start shifting timelines consciously and tapping into other timelines consciously.
That's amazing. That's really, really cool stuff. Everything you're doing is really, really based around the positivity. I think it's amazing what you're doing with people out there in Hawaii. We're actually at the end of the show. Do you want to tell everybody where your website is, how they can follow you, all that good information? And I will make sure I put all your links in the description of the episode so everybody can get that as well.
Perfect. Yeah. So I have two different websites. You can find me at drlisajthompson.com. The same website is mysticmanta.com, if that's easier. Then I also have bigislandufotours.com. And then I am on Facebook under Dr. Lisa Thompson, Big Island UFO Tours. I have a couple of Facebook groups, Connection to the Cosmos, Sacred Soul Spaces with Dr. Lisa Thompson. I am on Instagram, and I have my YouTube channel, Connection to the Cosmos with Dr. Lisa Thompson.
You were really staying busy doing this. It's great. It's awesome. And I'm guessing your books are on Amazon?
They are. Awesome. That's probably the best way for people to get them.
Okay, cool. Perfect. Well, I want to thank you for coming on today and really sharing all this stuff. You're doing excellent work. I mean, you got a lot on your plate, but you're doing great stuff. You're getting the word out there. You're making this a positive and really, really helping the field in general. So thank you for coming on and kicking off our series, Women in the Field. Excellent first episode as you as a guest. And I thank you again for coming on today.
Thank you so much for having me on, Jesse.
No problem. And I want to thank everybody for listening today. If you're interested in the upcoming Curiosities Festival, make sure you guys go check out it. The tickets are only $5 a piece. Go check out all the information and get your tickets over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. And we'll be back next week with another special guest. So until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Well, I want to thank Dr. Lisa Thompson for coming on today and sharing her experiences, her channeling, the work she's doing in this field. Absolutely amazing. And I think it was definitely worth to highlight everything she's doing, helping people with their contact experiences. It's just great stuff. So thank you again, Dr. Lisa Thompson, for coming on today and sharing your story with us, your experience and the work you're doing. Absolutely amazing stuff. I hope you guys really enjoyed it because I know I did. Next week, we're going to have another special guest on and celebrate what they're doing in the field. Absolutely amazing guests we have lined up all month long. So we'll announce that next week. And if you guys are interested in the upcoming conference we're having, it's the 2024 Curiosities Festival on May 4th. We're going to have special interest speakers. Our big keynote speaker is Bob Spearing. He is the MUFON Director of Investigations International. He'll be talking about some of the top cases he worked on, some really, really cool stuff. We're going to have vendors there. We're going to have live performances. We're going to have live bands all day. There will be a bunch of different things to do. Tickets are only $5 a person, and that's for all day. It includes everything. And we're also going to have a planetarium there with astronomer Nick Placco. It seats at least 7 to 8 people inside. It's absolutely amazing. I think everybody should experience it. If you're interested in checking it out, you can get all the information and buy your tickets over at our website at ufoencountersworldwide.wordpress.com. And I hope to see you guys back next week for our next edition of Women in the Field. So until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky.